Psalm 41, and I'm going to read the entire psalm again today. I'm assuming that today will be our final study out of this psalm. I saw another thought there that I want to try to use this morning, and then I want to preach in the morning hour out of Psalm 42 in the first five verses of that psalm and be a preaching from it. I hope will be a blessing to us in the preaching hour. But Psalm 41, beginning in verse number 1, "Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him under the will of his enemies." Man, what a statement that is, gentlemen. If you want protection from God, or by God, or from God, in reference to your enemies, then there's the way to get it, and that is to bless and consider the poor upon the earth. And that's right. I'm telling you, somebody said, "Brother Hall, do we earn our rewards and graces from God?" In many ways, we do. Yes, sir. And God will honor us if we'll honor Him. He said, "The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing, that will make all his bed in his sickness." I said, "Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? And if he come to see me, he speaketh vanity. His heart gathereth iniquity to itself. When he goeth abroad, he telleth it. All that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt. An evil disease, say they, cleaveth fast unto him. And now that he lieth, he shall rise up no more. Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. But thou, O Lord, be merciful unto me, and raise me up that I may requite them. By this I know that thou favorest me, because mine enemy doth not triumph over me. And as for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity, and settest me before thy face forever. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting and to everlasting." And then David said, "Amen and amen." Now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word this morning. Our Father, I want to thank you for the privilege of being in the Sunday school hour. I pray that you help us this morning, that you'll provide liberty and grace. And you said, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." And grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And Lord, so your divine presence this morning will assure us of liberty. It will assure us, Lord, of truth in the Word of God and grace from Thee. And so help us today. Move every heart. Sustain us. Give us victory. Bless us and help us. May your name be honored and glorified. And we'll thank you for it according to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Fellas, let's look at verse number 10 this morning. I saw something there that caught my attention. And where David said, "But thou, O Lord, be merciful unto me, and raise me up that I may requite them." David, in Psalm 41, and I've said this every week now for about 3 or 4 weeks, in Psalm number 41, David was a man with a charitable spirit. And a loving heart, really. I know in many cases, if you look at David's life, the Bible said he was a man of bloody hands. The Lord would not allow him to build the temple, but gave that duty to Solomon. And the reason being is because David had a chapped mind and bloody hands. David was a man of war. And fellas, many times we look at the external on a man, and we'll judge that man for what we may think that he is in his heart. But we better be careful judging a man's heart by his some of his actions in life. You know, when David departed from Jerusalem under the betrayal of his own son Absalom, the counsel that Hushai gave to Absalom said, "You know that your father is an older man and a man of war. He's chaffed in his mind." That is, he's just been a man of war. He's fought a lot of battles. And his mind is just kind of rough. He thinks roughly. And said he's like a bear right now robbed of her whelps. And said, "You better be careful how you go after that man. And gentlemen, I want to say something along that line this morning. You know, men of God today stand and fight more battles than you and I could ever imagine that they fight. And it is difficult for a man of God today to have the character in his heart that I think that he ought to have in the Bible because of the battles that he's fought. And many preachers today, and many Christians alike, their minds are chaffed, they're rough, and they're not as kind outwardly as they ought to be. But that does not mean that their heart is not filled with the love of God. And that's right now. And they judge things wisely, but that does not mean that their heart is not filled with the love of God. Now, David here was a very charitable man, although he was a man of war. And his heart was right with God. And David apparently fell sick here. And in his sickness, those adversaries, and I'm bringing to a point, if you'll just bear with me, those adversaries of David begin to rail upon him. They began to reproach him because of his disease. And when he was down and they felt like that he had had made a great enough mistake in his life that they could pounce upon him and draw from that mistake and defeat him, they began to do that. But David had enough confidence in his God that he was sure that the Lord would raise him up from this disease and would let him avenge his adversaries. And that brings me to the thought that I want to convey to your heart this morning in verse number 10. Look at David's heart here. David said, "Raise me up that I may requite them." Now, I'll get to that word and its definition for us in just a minute. But I want to give you our thought for this morning. I want to bring a lesson this morning for a few minutes, if God will help me, on the influence of a good man. You see, David had the privilege here, gentlemen, to be an influence in one of two ways, either for good or for evil. Do you know when we are reproached we're, so to speak, in a defensive mood, we really have a great opportunity there to be an influence to those people around us. David had a wonderful opportunity here to be an influence to these people that had reproached him, either to good or to evil. And when I first saw that word "required," I really thought in my heart, David wanted to be raised up from his bed of affliction that he might retaliate against those people. But I studied a little along the line and prayed about it, and David was a man after God's own heart. I'll get to the word "required" in a minute, but I need to take my time to get there. But what David is saying there, he wanted to be raised up that he may requite those men, not according to the dictates of David's heart, which was evil, and our hearts are desperately wicked, who can know it? But David wanted to requite those men according to the loving kindness of God. And I'll get to my lesson there in just a minute. But influence, gentlemen, you and I have got a glorious opportunity to either be an influence for good or for evil. We can impact mankind around us, our communities, or our country for good or for evil. Our lives can either have a good effect or an evil effect upon those that we come in contact with. Man, I'm going to tell you, I began to think about this thing last night, gentlemen, and I'm telling you, it really gripped my heart. The trend of the hour is to influence men in an evil way. And I have railed on poor old Bill Clinton, but I guess maybe he deserves to be railed on. Man, there is a man, a leader in our country that has a glorious opportunity to influence mankind for good and to be an example of good in our land. And yet, he's turned that thing over, and really what he's doing is being an influence for evil. I look back at some of the men that held his position in years gone by, and they were men of integrity. They influenced America for good. Likewise, I think of preachers. and how preachers ought to bear an influence not only on their church, but they ought to have an influence on the community that they live in. I'm going to tell you something, gentlemen. When I begin to pray and study about this, Brother Hall had to chide his own heart. I had to try my best to chastise myself and to correct my own heart. Somebody said, "What do you mean, Brother Hall?" I'm afraid that maybe in a way, Brother Hall's missed an opportunity to be an influence in the community that we live in. I've always wanted to be an example to the house of God and try to set the right example for you men. But man, I thought about influencing our community that we live in to have an impact on Madisonville, that God, to get my life and our lives in such a spiritual a condition that God might use us to be an influence on souls in our community. Somebody said, "Brother Hall, we need to be busy about seeing sinners saved." I'm going to tell you something, gentlemen. With the right attitude of spirit and the right kind of heart, we could do both. We could see sinners saved, and at the same time, we could be an influence in a godly manner in the community that we're living in. I read an article in the paper. I don't know if it was Friday, Saturday, but it was in Friday. And there's a big black preacher in town. And they call him, his nickname is Big Time. Some of you that's lived around here, Brother Billy might know him, Brother Jerry probably know him. The Big Time Sanders from down at Arlington. He's a black man, and he works in the jail. He also works up in down in Eddyville. And the article in the paper began to, you know, to lift this man up as his influence that he had in the jail. How he had won some young men there to God, and they had went on out to serve God in the capacity of a preacher or song leader or some other capacity in particular churches. And it went on to say, well, it said, he's really not any denomination. He's non-denominational. And said he said in his own words, he really don't go into the jailhouse and try to really preach the Bible. But what he does, he goes in and tries to influence those men and cheer them up and make them feel good. And they painted a real pretty picture of that man in the newspaper. But I thought, gentlemen, my God, shouldn't you and I, as the people of God, be able to get in certain and particular key positions within our community where we could have an influence on somebody that will turn error around and make men or cause men and women to see the truth, and that truth would set them free from the stinking sin that's got their hearts in bondage and slavery to the devil. I'm telling you, our community, gentlemen, has not been influenced for the good. It's been influenced for evil and wickedness and ungodliness. I read an article yesterday now where they're turning our city park into a sodomite den and sodomites meeting down there. And the city police said, well, they've not had too many complaints about it. I'm telling you, I see two of them sorry devils engaged in an act of sex in the city park. They won't have to worry about correcting them. They may have to correct Brother Hall. Them fellas may be headed for the happy hunting ground. I'm here to tell you, gentlemen, we need some godly influence in our city. That's right. Godly influence and effect upon people. David had that opportunity. He said, "Lord, raise me up that I may requite them unto the living God." Would to God that he had raised us up, gentlemen, not from a bed of sickness, but from the pews of sin sickness and complacency and lethargy, and get us involved in true Christianity, and would raise us up in the community, give us the hearts and the ears of people that they might hear the truth, and the truth set them free from the condemnation of sin they're living in. My Lord, I thought, Lord, we need to hear people. Somehow, gentlemen, if we're going to be an influence, we've got to have the ears of the people. They've got to hear what's right and what's truth. Amen to God. And I'm going to tell you, hey, look here. The media has the potential of being a great, or is not just a potential, it is a great influence on the world and society that we're living in. Somebody said, what's that got to do with us? What do you think WSOF is? What do you think we are but an instrument of the media? My land. Gentlemen, I'm simply saying that the voice of righteousness needs to be heralded throughout our land, that sinners can be saved and that a godly influence might prevail, and even those that are lost might be brought back to some moral integrity where they can stand for what just plain down truth right in our land again. I know that's right. Thanks be unto God. Now, there's basically two classes of people that, and the way that they affect. There are those that underestimate themselves. Amen. Now, fellas, I'm trying to give us something that'll help us practically this morning. You see, there are some folk men who are very modest. They're humble-minded. Amen. And they're drawn back. And to them, people of that, they feel like, well, I don't have, you know, anything. There's nothing in my life God can use to be an influence. But I'm going to tell you something, gentlemen. A meek and a quiet spirit and a humble heart can be more of an influence on people than our big mouths can be sometimes. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And we've got men, and I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing in this world, but we've got men in our church that fall into that category. They feel like that they could not be outspoken, that they cannot relate to people in an outspoken way, and therefore they're just quiet, shy, and modest, and they're humble-spirited and humble-minded. But I'm here to tell you, gentlemen, that that kind of a spirit can be an influence on people. God intends for, and by the way, the only kind of an influence is a godly influence. The only right kind of an influence is a godly influence. Somebody said, well, my goodness, how can somebody that's meek and humble have such an impact on the community? Hey, gentlemen, I just read in the Beatitudes last night, in chapter number 4, in the last verse of that chapter, the Bible said, and the multitudes went after Jesus. Chapter 5, verse 1, begins the Beatitudes. He sat down upon the mountain, and there when he was set and the multitudes came to him, he began to teach them truths from the Word of God. I said, what are you getting at? There was not a meeker, humbler individual that walked the face of planet Earth than the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet there has never been a man that had more of an impact and an influence on mankind as what Jesus did. Amen. Sometimes we think we've got to be big mouth to get anything done. It's not the big mouth. A meek and a quiet spirit in a woman is an ornament of grace. I'm not so sure it wouldn't be an ornament of grace in us men. Huh? Well, I'm trying to talk about influence, and I'll get there. Then there are those not only that underestimate themselves, but there are, and let me say this right there. Gentlemen, if you fall into that category, if you are a shy, humble, meek person, please don't get the idea in your mind that God can't use you. Then there is that other class, and it is the more dangerous class. There are those who overestimate themselves. Have you ever been around anybody that's really, I mean, you can just tell that they really believe that they're God's gift to humanity, that they know more than anybody else knows about everything. I don't care what, I've been around men, I don't care what kind of a conversation you strike up with them, they know more about that than what you know more about you know about it. I'm going to tell you, you ain't going to influence nobody with that kind of an attitude. No, sir. Brother Rain said something this morning that amazed me, and I'd never thought about it before. Huh? Do you know when Peter rebuked our Lord that our Lord never rebuked him back? You know why? Because he realized he was the stronger of the two and the more powerful of the two. Right. Gentlemen, power. Hey, look here. Look at these men who overestimate themselves are power seekers.
Right.
And they carry the attitude of mind that with my great influence, I'll display my power and other men will become subordinate to me. Oh boy, Brother Hall, have we just sunk right down into a hole this morning? But I'm telling you, it don't work that way. Gentlemen, do you know why Jesus could be so humble and so meek and so loving and so kind and not worry about the power and the authority that he had, not to try to make of himself some reputation and to become arrogant in his attitude toward others? I'm going to tell you why. He had a God-given authority that no man could take from him. And if God gives us, gentlemen, the influence I'm referring to is a godly influence that can only be conveyed to the heart of man through God himself. And if God conveys that kind of an influence to a man and that power and that authority, then let other men be what they may.
Amen.
They cannot deprive you of that place of authority and power and influence. Overestimated, puffed up, overestimate themselves. Now I'm going to get down to something practical. Oh, Brother David here said, Lord, raise me up that I may requite them. Raise me up, Lord, that I may have an influence on these men. Now, I read after one commentator, and everybody listen to me, that David is here saying, Lord, because he said in an earlier verse, he said, when will he die? And I read after one commentator here that said that because David was in the Old Testament era, and was in a kingly position, was a man of great power, that he had enough power to say, Lord, raise me up and let me requite this guy. In other words, as they used to say in Vietnam, crocodile. Let me crocodile this man because he has done evil to me and he's made insurrection against me and my power and my place of authority. But gentlemen, I don't believe that. Now that, I can't help but to believe that in David's heart here, David is thinking in New Testament terminology, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Now what our attitude today is, only do it first. And I'm here to tell you, gentlemen, that is far from Bible. We do not do unto others as others would do unto us. Only do it first. We just do unto others as others would do unto us. Can I break that down for you? Under the living God, if we would treat other people with the same respect that we ourselves want to be treated with, my Lord, that would put us on an even plane, and that's right. And we should be an influence one to another, exhort one another, and be a blessing to one another, not only in the house of God, but in the very community that we're living in. And I'll say more about that in a minute. Say more about that in a minute. Somebody said, Preacher, how can we influence people? I'm glad you asked. By living near to God.
Amen.
Isn't that so simple? By living near to God. Let me ask you men something in here that read. Who has influenced your life more than others? Huh? I'm going to tell you who influences Brother Hall's life. Those men that are living... that Brother Jerry, true. But those men that are living near to the very heart of God.
Amen.
Hey, gentlemen, I can read. Look here now. I can read after men, and I've read enough that I can tell which of those men were living closer to the heart of God and which of them were. Now, everybody listen to me. I want to say something with you. I read Charles Spurgeon a great deal. I also read Arthur Pink a great deal. Mind you, Arthur Pink was a man of great doctrine. Son, he'd give you something out of that book doctrinally. But if you want something for the heart,
right.
If you want something that'll move your soul and stir your heart and draw you near to God, the bearded prophet's the man. Oh, he had a relationship with God. I'm satisfied, gentlemen. He had a relationship with God unprecedented in his day. I mean, unparalleled. There was, I don't know of another man in Spurgeon's day that lived as close to the heart of God as what Spurgeon did. Do you know why the Psalms are so precious? They were written by a man who was after God's own heart. And I'm here to tell you, if we want to be an influence on those around us, we're going to have to be men after God's own heart, men that are living near to God. And Brother James said if we had drawn nigh to God, that God would draw nigh unto us. Living near to God. Man, I'm telling you, they don't any worldling influence me. I'm going to run from that bunch of egg suckers. Stay away from them. They said in the newspaper the other day that Kentucky become the 33rd state to vote down the law on partial birth abortion. They outlawed it in the state of Kentucky. And the newspaper said, hallelujah, that's a wonderful thing. Well, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. But why not abandon it altogether, gentlemen? Huh? We're still a long way from God. Nigh unto the Lord. Living near to God. Hey, living near to God, we'll do three things. Number one, we will requite others properly. Now, I'm about to get into my thought now, so just kind of hang in there. We'll requite others properly. You see, gentlemen, our first thought is, y'all ain't going to leave me, are you? Our first thought is, when we have been reproached, the attitude of our mind is retaliate. That's right. I'm going to get even. I'm going to show them. Especially if it has bruised our ego a little bit. You see, if our ego is bruised and our pride gets bruised just a tad bit, our thought is, I'm going to get even. You mark her down, buddy. I am getting even one way or the other. That is a worldly, carnal, ungodly, wicked attitude of a man's spirit that takes that kind of an attitude. I'm going to get even. I'm going to requite them according to carnality and my human nature rather than according to the Word of God and holiness and the Bible. Now, bear with me here just a minute. Romans, I'm going to read a lot of Scripture. Romans chapter number 12. Verse 17, recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of men. Look here, gentlemen, and if we don't recompense them evil for evil, we must recompense them good for evil. Oh, that's hard to do. To do good to somebody when they have done bad to you. To recompense them good for their evil deed. I'm telling you, that is totally contrary to the flesh, brother, but I'm telling you that is Bible. And mind you now, David here is trying to influence the very ones that reproach him. Amen. Gentlemen, that's the ones we need to influence. The very most are those themselves that have reproached us already. I wish somebody would say amen if it is. Requite others properly. Let's read on down. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, you must get a hold of that. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Didn't say we was going to live peaceably with all men. It said, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, I'm going to tell you something, fellas. I believe, live peaceably with most men. Not all of them, most of them. But I cannot live peaceably with nobody when they push me into a corner. Paul is not saying there, we ought not to defend ourselves. Oh, no. Not say, hey, if somebody is going to continually push that issue and push that issue and push that issue, live peaceably with that man. As much as lies in you, live peaceably with that man and provide all things honest and in good report toward them. Hey. But I'm going to, hey, listen here now. An old rattlesnake laying out in the desert ain't going to bother nobody. But if you keep aggravating him, he's going to lay one on you. You hear what I'm saying? For the most part, a bear in the wild, Brother Chris is a hunter, will they just readily attack Brother Chris? I mean, if they're just out of, they've got to be somehow now. They're either looking for food or they've got to be put in a corner. Now, you put a man in a corner, gentlemen, and he's going to put his gloves on and come out boxing. He has no other alternative. If the issue is forced, that's why, I know this is going on tape, but that's why I'm telling you that most things that are contrary to one another in the house of God or otherwise are best left alone. Now, here's what I'm getting ready to say. Now, I've used this before. If you don't like it, you can come to me after class and I'll tell you. But you can set a bucket of manure, gentlemen, out there in the parking lot, and it will lose its odor. Comes up again. Let her sit there a couple of days and go out. Well, settle down. I'm going to... There she comes up one more time. See what I'm saying? Hey, if it be possible, as much as life, then you live peacefully with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. I'm going to tell you, that is God's way. That is God's way of providing vengeance and judgment upon the wrong. Is by our doing good to that man and doing good to that man and continually doing good to that man, we will heap coals of fire upon the head of that individual. And I'm going to tell you, God will bring him down somewhere down the line. Retaliate. Requite others properly. Not by retaliation. But we requite them either by recompense or reward. And they're both the same way. Given evil, given good in the place of evil. Recompense and reward. Look at Matthew chapter number 5, gentlemen. I hope you'll follow me in your Bibles. You brought Bibles. If you ain't going to read them, you all just left them at the house. Matthew 5. I'm talking about by requiting other people properly. And right here's the way we do it. Verse 44 of Matthew 5, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and curse you. There's three ways right there. That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? If you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans the same? Be you therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. What Jesus is saying there, if you love somebody that loves you, you ain't done much. Amen. If you greet those that love you, you've not accomplished much. I remember there's a few years back, there's a fellow in this church, and all of you know him. And he left the church and disgruntled, stood back there in the door and raised his fist at my face and threatened me and one thing and another. And I don't know, maybe a year down the road, I saw that man at the teller window in Citizens Bank. And I walked up to the teller window right beside of him and I said, how you doing, brother? And he just stood there and looked over the teller window. Wouldn't even acknowledge I was there. Somebody said, what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying that man is about as far from being right with God as a billy goat. Somebody said, well, Brother Hall, you was wrong. What if I was? If I was wrong, then it was his place to do good to me. And if he was wrong, then I tried my best to do good to him. Are you hearing what I'm saying, gentlemen? That's the way it ought to be, fellas. We ought to love and salute our enemies. If only if you can't love nobody but your wife and kids and your next door and your in-laws and outlaws, buddy, you're in bad shape today. I'm telling you, to have a real influence on anybody, we're going to have to love people that despise us and persecute us and use us wrongfully. We're going to have to some way draw nigh enough to God that we should be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect, and love them with the same love that He does. Now, I'm telling you, I'm learning some things, and maybe learn them too late. But I didn't know them until now. So, I put it like this. I knew them, but didn't have enough grace to put them into action.
Amen. There you go.
Gentlemen, it takes grace to put some of this
Amen.
Into action. If I know anything about what I'm saying, it's called turning the other cheek.
Amen.
If they compel you to go a mile, go twain.
Amen.
If they sue you by the law and take your coat, give them your cloak
Amen.
Also.
Yes,
buddy, that's Christianity.
Amen.
My God, help us. I'm telling you, hey, fellas, I'm in practical, living, down-to-earth Christianity, we are as far from God, bless God, as He is, as the east is from the west, and that's a long way. You can't measure it. We've thrown our stupid television out. Most of us got a good haircut. Our wives dress right. But I'm wondering how near we are to God. Hey, we'll be no closer to our brothers. We'll be no closer to mankind than what we are near to God. I don't know if you know it or not, but we're right down home, buddy. I'm here to tell you, buddy, we've got everything right on the outside, but I'm afraid we're living in an hour when we're exactly like the Pharisees the Lord spoke to. We've cleaned up the outside, but the inside's full of dead men's bones. We're ravenous wolves on the inside. We beg to devour. Amen. And we ask, and we do not receive, and we want and cannot obtain. I'm going to tell you why we ask Him this, that we might consume it upon our own lust.
Amen.
Wherefore come fightings and rumors and things among you.
Amen.
Why do you bite and devour one another? Hallelujah to God, buddy. That's right where we're living too. We got so much worldly nature about us wanting to get the edge. We think, hey, that's the way the world thinks. I'm telling you, I'm so sick. Gentlemen, son, I'm so sick and tired of worldliness and carnality in the world. You can't even pick up a newspaper anymore without getting mad and just disgusted with the way things are going. Hey, all that in the paper yesterday. Well, the Wildcat signed this guy and a Wildcat signed that guy and a Wildcat signed this guy and a Wildcat. You know why? They're signing all these men. You know what they said? They've really got the edge this year, boys. They're going back to the NCAA. I'm going to tell you what they're saying. They're saying we're doing this to get an edge on everybody else. And unto God, that is exactly the mindset of America today. Work and labor and do and criticize and cut down that we might have the edge on somebody. That we might set ourselves up just a little bit higher than what they are. God help us to humble ourselves that we might be exalted in due time. That's right. That's right. Now notice now, when we're living near to God, we requite others properly. Not only do we requite others properly, but we reflect the goodness of God. I said we reflect, gentlemen, the goodness of God. I want to be a reflection. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what do you mean a reflection? Well, I'm glad you asked. This is what I said. I want to be a reflection of the goodness of God. And if I can somehow just crucify self, if we can ever just die, gentlemen, to self and quit worrying about self. Amen. Quit trying to cover up and be a sham and quit trying, bless the Lord, to be something we're not. I mean, just be ourselves for a change.
Amen.
And reflect the goodness of God in our life.
Amen.
Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Is everybody there? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and brag about how kind of a Christian you are. There, gentlemen, is the reflection of goodness. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know what Arthur Pink said? Arthur Pink said, anytime that we try to let our light shine, that we might shine, we've taken on the spirit of Phariseeism.
Amen.
Ain't us that shines, gentlemen.
Right.
For all that we do in this life ought to be to try to glorify God.
That's right.
That's right.
Amen.
You know what my prayer is? I want to glorify you, Lord, in life.
Amen.
And in death, let me glorify God.
Amen.
I went last night, and of course, every time you move, and even any time you rearrange furniture, must let you move, you've got all kinds of little paraphernalia you've got to sort through. And I'm telling you, I got some. You know where my treasures are, gentlemen. Somebody said, isn't that safe over there? Them pocket knives, them guns. I'm going to tell you where my treasure's at. It's in little cardboard boxes, stuffed away in dresser drawers. It's in little doodads sitting on top of dressers. Last night I had to bring all my junk from the upstairs, and I keep everything. I don't throw nothing away. I keep it all. And they had stuff in there, little old birthday cards, and I opened up one of them, and it was a anniversary card from my wife. And I opened it up, and I didn't know what was in it, and I opened it up, and little lights started flashing, and it started playing. Let me call you sweetheart, I'm in love. I closed it back down, and them tears began to run down my face. Son, there's a treasure. I went in that room, that big room up there, and went in that one dresser and started going through stuff. And I pulled out all them tapes with the kids. I said, Lord, now we want to put these in a special place. I wouldn't take $10 billion for them. Somebody said, you're a fool. Yeah, oh, no. Oh, I'm not no fool. I reached there and got one little old bag and come pulling out that bag. And it was a little old black and white striped bag and had a can in it. It said, get well soon. And I opened up that can, and you know what it was? It was a pair of false teeth in it. And they was going, jiggy, 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 jiggy. Hey, that's right. Somebody said, and he don't even remember getting them for his daddy. Back in 89, I hadn't thrown them away.
Amen.
No, sir. I walked, pulled out another little old item, and going through all them little old cards, and I got to one card, and I pulled it out, and I could tell it had on there, said, to Brother Hall, Dad. I said, that has to be Lisa and Doug. Has to be Lisa and Doug. Opened it up. It was a birthday card or a Father's Day card or something. I wouldn't throw nothing away. I mean, open them up, little old card in there, opened it up, and it said, Dear Daddy, I know this is not a birthday card, a Father's Day card, but I just wanted to let you know that I think you're the greatest daddy in all the world. It's from Tammy. And all them little cards and things, buddy, I put them back and put them in little boxes and sealed them up. Son, I'm going to tell you, amen to God, fellas. I'm here. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying, buddy, right there is my treasures. Amen!
Amen.
Yes, sir! Son, I'm telling you, hey, I'm not worried about treasures upon this earth.
Amen.
Son, those are my treasures. Treasures. Memories are my treasures. And I want to cherish them and honor them and live right in their presence, that I might be a godly influence to them to the glory of God.
Yes.
I'm telling you, I looked at that thing, them things, and I wept, and I went downstairs, and Miss Hall looked at me and said, you got them, ain't you? I said, I got them bad. I get them every time I go through that little old junk. That's right. Now, hey, anything else, folks, is just worthless. That's right. And I've never said this. I'm going to say it. Tammy drew them little old things in there for me, and I got them sitting on my desk. And she wrote on one and said, Daddy, have I ever told you you're my hero? Said, you're the wind beneath my wings. And I can fly higher than any eagle because you're the wind. And I looked at that and I said, boy, that's good. Wasn't long after that somebody came in and said, who wrote that silly mess you got sitting there? Some preacher. And I said, well, you know, I don't. And I've tried to be so humble, you know. And I said, well, why? And he said, there's words of wind beneath my wings. He said, don't you know that that's a rock and roll song? I said, no, sir, I don't listen to rock and roll music.
Amen. He must be listening to
it. But I said, my daughter wrote that, and I wouldn't give a flip what it is. I'm not getting rid of it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And if you want your neck broke, if you want shot, just touch something that my family's given me, buddy. It's downtown Charlie Brown, boy. She's on. Somebody said, Brother Hall, you're not to retaliate. I'm not retaliating. You've got me in a corner and I've got to get out of it. Amen. We reflect the goodness of God. And then, gentlemen, we rejoice in the light of His presence. Do you want to influence somebody? Then, hey, old Brother Ricky told me this morning sitting there. He said, Brother Hall, he said, I know God uses everybody in their personality. And he said, everybody's personality ain't the same. But he said, don't you think if you've got the right kind of personality that if God moves you, that you ought to just shout her out and let her rip? And I said, I don't know what you got anything to do with personality or not. But gentlemen, I'm going to rejoice and praise God every chance I get. Amen to God. And if you think I'm cut up here, you ought to come to my house sometime. There ain't nobody there but me and Sister Hall. Watch how Brother Hall cuts up. I'm here to tell you, gentlemen, that rejoicing in God in the presence of mankind reveals what God has done in our hearts and the love we have for Him and the thanksgiving we've got in our hearts. And it ought to be an influence on somebody around us that we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. But you said, I used to carry on big time when I was in basketball. We ought to carry on big time at the house of God. Bunch of zombie, dead beat, dead head. Saved and going to heaven. I've got to hurry now. See the ladies out here? Hey, we're influenced. We can be an influence to others by living near to God. Secondly, by loving the brotherhood. And how we esteem them more highly than ourselves. Philippians 2, 1 through 4. And we exhort one another. Hebrews 10, 25. And then, and I want to touch this for a minute, we can be an influence to others by learning the hearts of others. Amen. Everybody look right up at me. It ain't time to quit. I don't give a flip what time it is. Hey, look right up here at me. I'm trying to help this church. Amen. Gentlemen, do you want to influence somebody? Then learn their heart. It may teach you to keep your stinking mouth shut when it ought to be shut.
Amen.
Somebody said, Brother Hall, what are you saying? I'm saying if you learn the hearts of people, you can understand what makes them tick. You'll never be an influence on somebody, gentlemen, until you look at their heart and have an understanding of them and realize in your heart why they're doing what they are doing. I'm knowing 1 Samuel chapter number 17. A little old boy by the name of David, just obeying his daddy. His daddy said, son, take these cheeses and these figs and all these goodies and run down and give the captain of the host some and take this food to your three brothers that's down there fighting the battle and give them some food to eat and strengthen them. When David came down to where the battle was at, old Eliab, his oldest brother, looked at him and said, David! What are you doing down here? And if I can break this down in our modern day vernacular, he said, you little pipsqueak, you little whippersnapper, you ain't got a bit more sense down here. You ain't got a bit more cause to be down here than the man in the moon. What are you doing here, David?
Right, yeah, that's right.
And David said, well, is there not a cause? Now look here. Here's what Eliab said. He said, David, I know the naughtiness of your heart. I've got news for you. Eliab didn't know beans from Applejack. He thought David wanted to come down there and look at the battle and gloat about the battle and watch him fight but he knew nothing about the heart of David. Now I'm going to tell you something, gentlemen. Before we run our mouths, before we open up our mouths and begin to criticize and ridicule and question somebody's heart and the reason they've done something or the reason they haven't done something, we better have an understanding of their heart and what the motive is behind them doing it. I'm telling you, most of us don't know what others have went through. Buddy, you ain't wore my shoes and I ain't wore yours.
That's right.
Son, I'm telling you, I better know the motives of your heart, buddy, before I criticize what you're doing. Better keep my mouth shut before I criticize your... Listen now. Come on, men. Let your mind think before I criticize decisions you make in life. I better know what you're going through. And I'm going to tell you something else. When I make decisions I make, let your heart before you crawl my back, you better have an understanding of my heart and the motive behind my reason for doing it.
Amen.
That's right. And can I say this, fellas? Hey, sometimes we try to say things with our mouth that ain't exactly what we feel in here. And you, hey, there's men just waiting to pounce on every little thing that you say with a critical spirit and a critical heart to try to nail your hide to the wall over it. That's right. And I'm going to tell you, more times than one, we don't always say with this what we're trying. I mean, we may say part of it or get it out, but I'm telling you, we are not divine. We're not, what's God? Infinite? I get the two mixed up, finite and infinite. We're not infinite, gentlemen. Infinite, however you want to pronounce it. We're human beings. And that's right. Buddy, it's preaching time now. I may just preach right on through and go to the house. I'm here to tell you, gentlemen, we are human beings. And the sooner we realize that we're all flesh and human, bless the Lord, and try to treat one another that way, the better we'll be. Try to learn people. Try to understand people. Try to come to an understanding of their heart. Hey, when that woman come to Jesus and said, hey, I want you to do me a favor. And he said, what is it? He said, let my boys, one sit on your right hand and the other. He didn't say, bless God, you stupid idiot woman. I can't do that. He just lovingly dealt with that woman's heart. You know why? Because he understood her heart. You know what that woman, somebody, and look here, and I've heard preachers get up and preach. Wow, that woman was proud and arrogant. She just wanted her boys on that pedestal. I'm going to tell you what that woman wanted. She wanted the best for her boys. Do you not want the best for your children today? Under God, if you don't, hit the altar and get born again. I want the best for my youngins. I don't mind telling you. I'm just trying to preach my heart to you in Sunday school, gentlemen. And I don't mind telling you, I worry constantly about my kids.
Amen!
Amen. Somebody said, I ain't a bit concerned about mine. Get saved!
Amen.
I am concerned about mine. And I can't help but to wonder about them when I see things in their life that they ain't planning out and are working out according to how Brother Hall thinks it ought to. Buddy, I start questioning and get on my knees and I want to find out from God if they're in the perfect will of God doing what God wants them to do. I wept over you last night, towhead. I said, there he is down there selling ice cream. And I wonder what's going to happen to his preaching ministry. And the devil jumped right up there and said, he's done. We're preaching now, folks. The devil said, he's done. The devil said, I'll tell you what you ought to do. You ought to just get that boy, bless God, and show him a thing or two. And Jesus, on the other hand, said, sir, said, you do not understand. You don't know the motives of that boy's heart. You don't know what went on in Mexico, and you don't know what went on at Stendhal, and that's right, and I don't.
Amen.
I don't know the motives of his heart, nor Brother Chris's heart, nor your heart, but I'm trying to learn enough that I can preach to you, to be a blessing to you, to guide you in the right direction where you can have the blessings of God on your life, whether I recognize those blessings or not.
Yes, sir. Amen. Help us, Lord.
Steve came to me a few months ago. And he said, preacher, said there's a man, preacher coming through and he's starting a church up in the Dakotas. And said it's he wants me to go up there. Said he's raised money. He's bought the building and said he owns it and he's going to do this and do that. And said, I need your advice on it. I don't remember whether I prayed too long about what I've done. But I advised Steve to stay at home. I said, anytime a man owns a property and not the church, God ain't in it.
Amen.
Besides that, the man was married and got divorced and got remarried, and then his first wife died, and then he was called to preach. God don't do that either.
Amen.
And I said, Steve, I said, I don't think I'd go up there. And I'm trying to know Steve's heart and trying to learn. And I believe Steve wants to do something for God. I watch him. He goes out there and reads him little old prayer letters almost every service and walks up and down the hall and reads him missionary prayer letters. And I believe he's got a heart for missions and wants to do something for God. And I said, Steve, I don't believe I'd do that. And Steve, and I'm just telling this, Steve, I don't mean to chide him. But Steve said, preacher, said, you're my pastor. I want to do what you say. But he said, hey, look here. He said, are you sure you're not just telling me that because you don't want your daughter and your grandkids to go off and be away from me? And God knows my heart. I'm being honest. I don't. But that wasn't my motive. And I said, no, I don't think so. I said, I'd rather have you wherever God wants you in the will of God than here out of the will of God. I'm preaching my heart now. I'm preaching my heart. That's right. And I said, I don't believe I'd take it. And Steve said, well, all right. And he went up and he got up and he left. And he no sooner left than the devil jumped up there and said, you fool! That boy had a glorious opportunity to exercise the gift of God, and now you've deprived him of it. You're a moron, man. And then he went on. He said, and he's gonna hate you for that. He's going to despise you for that because you gave him wrong advice, buddy. And I scratched my head, and man, I'm telling you, I wept. I said unto God, I just don't believe, that it was the will of God. And I wept. Hey, and look here, my telephone rang yesterday morning, another preacher on the end of the line, and we got to talking. He said, that boy out of my church that went to Dakota and took that work up there with that other preacher. I said, I know who you, yeah. He said, guess what? I said, what? He said, he's back in North Carolina. Said he tried her too much and got up there and said the preacher that owned the property told him, said, now I own this place and you're going to have to do things my way around here. And said, we went off to another church where this young boy was going to preach. And said, the preacher told him on the way down there, said, now you can't preach up here like you do in Carolina, boy. Said, tone her down and don't get too rough and too loud. And he said, you can't preach against any kind of standards up here. These people won't take it. Hey, I'm here to tell you, buddy. And that boy packed up his grip, headed back to North Carolina. And when that preacher told me that, I said, unto God, thanks be unto God, and shame on the devil. That's right, thank God. I want to be a godly influence to my family. I'm going to tell you something else. And I hope you can like it or not. I told Brother Doug I didn't think it was right for Brother Doug to go to Stendhal. Amen. And I believe it's worked out. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying look at somebody's heart and try to learn their heart and their motive and what they're doing, whether it be somebody here or somebody else, and try to be an influence that will guide them in the right direction. God help us. Yes! But I will say this. Bless the Lord. There's enough places within 50 miles. There's enough places within 50 miles of Madisonville. Every preacher boy in here could find him a place to preach and go out and let her rip. I'm going to tell you what I told them in there in the office.
Amen.
Why don't we quit pussyfooting around? We bought a tent for every Tom, Dick, and Harry in the country. Bought trucks and tents and raised money for every Tom, Dick, and Harry in the country. Why can't we raise money and buy a tent and let our boys go out and preach under it? Why can't the church get behind our boys where they can go out and preach? Amen to God. Why can't we turn our community upside down? That's God. Why can't we preach the gospel and turn our country upside down for the glory of God? I tell you, these young men get enough God on them, they can go out and turn the world upside down for God. And we ain't on there, but you hear me well. I'm going to say this while we ain't on there. Mr. Thomas told me the other day, said there's an envelope down there that I think you ought to read. I went there and picked up the envelope from him. He's done a study. Buddy, we have found a place We have found a little small community out in the backwoods of nowhere, but it's close enough to everybody. Woo! Son, I'm telling you, there's an allocation there or an opening for a radio station there that'll reach thousands more people for the cause of Christ. Somebody said, what do you think we ought to do? I think we ought to. We have to bless God. Mortgage his place to the hills to preach the gospel, to be an influence to those around us that sinners might be saved by the grace of God. That's right.
Yes,
the gospel will influence men and women. Christ can change lives. Amen. The Word of God can do a work. Amen. Did it change your family? Did it turn your family around? Son, if it turned your family around, it can turn that family around as well. If we'll just get with God, play with God, trust Him, God can. God can influence those around us. Hallelujah to God. Learning the hearts of people. Preaching the gospel. Yes! Thanks be unto God. Amen. Hallelujah. There's some other places I've got in mind too. Amen. Thank God. Son, I'm telling you, hey, look here, it's time we pulled out the stops. It's time we put out the carts. It's time we let Madisonville, Tompkins County, Western Kentucky know. Bless the Lord today, the God in heaven that's got a power to redeem their soul from the depths of sin. Amen to God. It's time we let the world know that they've a life that exceeds the bars and the dens of iniquity, the theater houses and the ball courts. They've a peaceful and a tranquil life that can be lived at home. Thanks be unto God where we can live with our family and be a blessing to us.